Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, and we're about to hear the second in a new series of programs called In the Father's Hands with host Mary Kate Grady. And her guest for this program is Father Mark Whelan, a member of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity Missionary Order. And Father is stationed at St. John Nepomucene Parish in the Corpus Christi, Texas area. And with that as a brief introduction, Mary Kate is about to welcome Father Mark to the program. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Sherry. And again, thank you to all of you for joining us for our program In the Father's Hands. As Sherry said, my name is Mary Kate Grady. I'll be your host. And as I mentioned in our last program, I'd like to mention again, the title of our radio program is called In the Father's Hands. And it's based off of in this St. John chapter 10, the Gospel of St. John, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." It's just such a beautiful reflection, as I had mentioned before, to realize and to remember Jesus tells us we are in the Father's hands. And the whole idea with this program is to share with all of you the way that our different guests have seen in their life how they have been in the Father's hands. We're always in the Father's hands. And as Jerry mentioned, our guest today is Father Mark Whelan, who currently is stationed in Robstown, Texas, kind of outside Corpus Christi. And I'm really blessed to know Father Mark. I've known him for quite some time now. I'm not even sure how many years it is, Father Mark, but we're together at St. Anne's Indian Mission in Belcourt, North Dakota. And so I'm blessed to know Father Mark personally, which is wonderful. So thank you so much, Father Mark, for joining us today.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Father. And, you know, Father, I'd like to start with, if this would be all right with you, I always like to ask our guest what is their favorite scripture verse and why. You know, maybe share a little bit about what touches them so much about that verse. If you could start us off with that, Father.
Sure. Well, my favorite scripture verse would be in the chapter 6 of St. John, verse 52. No, more like 53. When Jesus says to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." That's so powerful for me. Mm-hmm. When I think about celebrating Mass and thinking about how we, you know, able to lift up the Savior of the world so that, you know, Jesus, he comes down into the altar, he gives us himself so that we too can be able to receive him like him, and how much power that is in all of us to be able to know that and to be able to receive that every single day of our life at the Holy Mass. In our Catholic faith, which is the pillar, the summit, and the source of our faith and what we believe in.
Yeah. Now, that's beautiful, Father. It's kind of funny that you mentioned that as your favorite verse, because just yesterday I was listening to a tape in my car, and it's Dr. Scott Hahn, and I believe this tape is from many years ago. He's talking about, he actually reads from the Book of Revelation, and he talks about how you know, God came to St. John and invited him almost to like a heavenly Mass to experience that. And, you know, Dr. Hahn was talking about how at Mass, like, you know, you might sit in a church and you might be in an empty pew per se, right? Like you're the only one that you see sitting there, but like how the church is full of like the angels and saints worshiping with us. And, you know, Jesus is not just the priest, but he's the victim also. And he was just talking so much about how like beautiful the Mass is. And sometimes we need a reminder of that, I think, Father, you know, it can become commonplace, like to go to Mass maybe every Sunday or to go to Mass, even people that get to go every day. And I think, I mean, maybe just as part of the human condition, I can speak for myself. Sometimes you forget, like, where you're at. Like, it's amazing. You know, so it's so beautiful that you mentioned that, because I didn't know what you were going to say your favorite passage was today, that you mentioned that just after yesterday. I was listening to this whole tape about, like, how beautiful the Mass is, how sacred it is. So thank you so much for sharing that, Father.
Well, you know, we just celebrated Corpus Christi Sunday last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about, you know, the real body and blood of Christ and how important it is in our church and in our own lives, and to be able to receive him. And just think, if people really understood the real presence, nobody would miss Mass.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that.
You know, when you talked about Dr. Hahn, he has a wonderful talk. It's called The Fourth Cup. He did years ago.
Yeah.
And he says that if people would realize in the real presence of Christ, the priest was to raise up and say $1 million and give it to each person in line.
Yeah.
How many people would stand in line?
Oh, I couldn't even count.
You'd have a line across America.
Yeah, you're right.
Waiting. Yeah, just waiting to be able to receive that $1 million. But really, when we receive our Lord, that's priceless.
Yeah.
That's way more than $1 million.
Yeah.
And to be able to receive and to become like him is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for his patience with us and our slowness, you know, that we're not always seeing with the eyes of faith, or we don't stay focused. We don't keep our eyes on him. And sometimes we look to the side and we forget what we have and what's going on there, you know?
So yes,
that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for reading that. I'm so happy that's your favorite verse, Father, that you brought that up today, because it was just perfect to talk about that. So, if you don't mind me segueing a little bit here, Father, so I don't know all the times in between, you know, maybe different missions that you've been part of. As Jerry mentioned, you're a member of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and I think you've been with them since, what, 1998, Father?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, and then I believe, if I'm correct, that your anniversary of your ordination is coming up in July. Would that be July 10th?
Yes.
Oh, how many years would that be for you being a priest?
Well, you know, right off the top of my head, I'd have to say probably going up 18.
Okay, wow. Yeah, so you've been with the Society. You were with them before you were ordained a priest, but in your time at the Society, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, I'm kind of putting you on a spot here, Father, but I think that you've probably been at maybe like 4 or 5 missions. Would that be correct?
Oh, more than that.
More than that? Okay. I know to myself, I know that you were in Colorado, but I also, you were in North Dakota a few times. The second go-around, I believe, is when I got to meet you at St. Anne's. But I know you've been to a few other places.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Wonderful. So I guess my question, or something, you know, if you could share with us a little bit, Father, is... it's kind of, a twofold question, but to start with the first part, maybe if you could share with us a little bit of your experience as being a missionary priest, and I specifically mean missionary, because we have many priests throughout the United States, but being a missionary priest is maybe a little bit different. Like, we're all called to be missionaries of sorts, right? But could you maybe explain a little bit of the difference between being a diocesan priest versus being like a missionary priest, what you do, how you get moved around, that would be different than like a diocesan priest being moved around?
Sure. I'll ask the second question first.
Okay.
The difference between a diocesan priest and a religious order priest is a diocesan priest is ordained for the diocese.
Okay.
So the bishop usually moves them around within the diocese. In a religious order, they're able to move anywhere in the world or anywhere their superior wants them to go. And it's really kind of interesting because, just to real briefly to share some of my own experiences, it's funny because, you know, I had a, before I went into religious life, I had my own house. I had a really nice paying job, and I had 3/4 acre that I worked really hard for. And I kept making my payments, and the bank and I owned it. And it was interesting because when God called me into the priesthood and I gave it all up, I was so worried about that 3/4 acre. But since that time, I believe I've been in 10 different countries and probably 40 of the 50 United States. It's almost like God, he says, here, you give me that little 3/4 acre and I'll give you the world.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And many, so, many acres, Father.
Yes. And what a joyful time, too, going around seeing different people and different cultures and different mission.
Yeah, wow. Now, something that I was kind of wondering a little bit, too, Father, is, you know, being a missionary, you're around people with, you know, of different nationalities, of course, or maybe even different countries. Do you ever kind of feel like you have to, like, figure out how to deliver your message in a different way, like, according to where you are? Like, I don't know if that makes sense. You know, for example, maybe not just as far as, like, language goes, right, speaking maybe English versus Spanish, but maybe, like, people of different cultures, you might have to get the faith across them in a different way. Do you find that to be the case, or do you kind of you stick with, like, kind of a main way of doing it with everyone?
Well, I think the key would be to try to understand the culture. And then there's a lot of things you try to blend in with the culture, but you never want to compromise your own faith.
Right, right.
You never want to compromise what we believe as a Catholic.
Sure.
Just to try to convince them. You always want to bring Christ and the message that he brings without being watered down, without being diluted or changed. Always the message of the church that we get from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And hopefully you can do that in that culture.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, my second question there, Father, as I mentioned before, I had two questions. I was going to ask if you wouldn't mind, you know, maybe one or a couple examples in your work, how you have seen God's providence in your work as a missionary priest, if there's any examples you could share with us on that.
Sure. One of the, as you know, in our faith, we have 7 sacraments.
Right.
And even though I love them all and love to do them all, I think probably the top one that I really like to do is confession.
Okay.
To be able to have somebody come all broken.
Yeah.
Who are dead to sin, be able to come and to hear their confession and for them to be able to get up and rise with the resurrected Christ. And it happens every single time. And to be able to see that is such a joy.
Yeah.
And some of the different conferences that I've been at, when people are just so broken and they, it's almost like they have no hope.
Yeah.
But after they come and they come and they reconcile with God, it changes their whole outlook on life. You know, God, he doesn't create the same way every single time.
Mm-hmm.
When we come to confession, he recreates us better than we were before, because now we have the grace to overcome any obstacles that come our way. And it helps us when we receive this grace to overcome any temptation, you know, that we might come upon in our life and in our struggles.
Right.
And so by being able to see that, or even the anointing of the sick, to be able to go and anoint somebody and to see him get well.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, you don't always hear that mentioned, Father, about people receiving anointing of the sick and getting better. You know?
Let me explain. So,
okay.
You know, what is the ultimate healing?
Our spiritual healing, of course.
Yeah, our ultimate healing would be to die and to be with God.
Mm-hmm. True.
Right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
A lot of people don't think like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, well, of course, you know, when we have our loved one and they're dying, we don't want to think about that. We want them to be with us.
Right.
But in a sense,
to say, yeah.
But in a way, that's kind of selfish, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be with our Creator. God first created them, and we just want them to go back home with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we understand that, then that's the ultimate healing.
Right.
But even so, to be able to see somebody, to be able to see a change in their life, and even more earthly or practical, to be able to see him walk away, you know, with no side effects, and be able to move on with life with their families, is such joy to be able to see, you know, God's holy presence in our life every day.
Yeah, that must be such a light. It's like witnessing a miracle over and over again, Father, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, the ultimate, you know, is if you can get there before they die and be able to anoint him and then give him the apostolic pardon, which removes all punishment due to sin, then you know that, as our church says, that's what they die, a happy death. Sometimes people think a happy death is with a cold drink in a recliner.
Right, yep.
But it's not. A happy death is being able to have a priest there to anoint him and give him the apostolic pardon.
Right, yeah, yep. It's interesting because it almost seems like sometimes people's approach, as you mentioned earlier about, you know, like maybe die with a cold drink in their hand, it almost implies it's the end of everything, you know? But as Catholic Christians, we believe like death is the beginning of everything. So like when you're going to be getting to go on a trip or a journey, you get ready, you don't like sit down like it's going to be over, you know? And so it's interesting because I think sometimes maybe that idea or attitude of like, I want, you know, one more cigarette or one more drink or something. And it almost like kind of implies finality, like everything's finished and over, when it's almost like it's just starting, you know?
And
you want to get ready. You want to be ready. You want to get prepared. You don't want to sit back and slack off, especially not at the end, you know? So.
Well, even how as our church would say that life is not ended, it's just changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Something I wanted to mention, Father, if you don't mind, is I can't remember. You're going to have to help me with this. I can't remember what year that was, but in the year of mercy, the Holy Father Pope Francis designated different priests as was it missionaries of mercy? Is that right?
Correct, huh? That was in the year 2016.
Okay, so you, if you don't mind me sharing, you were actually selected to be a missionary of mercy. And would you mind sharing for a minute or two kind of what that meant for you to be a missionary of mercy in that year?
Sure. Well, actually, real briefly, we were commissioned in 2016.
Okay.
On Ash Wednesday. And we were that year to go out and to be able to, we had special faculties to be able to forgive sins that only the apostolic plenitentiary was able to do. There was four sins that we were able to forgive without having to go through the plenitentiary.
Okay.
So one of the things that was really nice about it is that even after the Year of Mercy ended, as Pope Francis closed the door on the Year of Mercy,
yeah,
mercy continued to extend along with our faculties.
Okay.
Indefinitely.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's awesome. Okay.
And so since that time, we've been called back to Rome again, I believe in 2019.
Okay.
And we're going to be called back again in 2022.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And here in the United States, we had a gathering 2 years ago in Kentucky.
Okay.
And we're going to have another gathering in Indiana this coming September.
Oh, beautiful. That's great. Yeah.
And we're all talking about ways how we can better serve the church and the needs of mercy. And we share the different ideas and how we can touch people and how we can get them to come and different ideas and being able to open up the door, you know, on different ideas. On how that works.
And I'd like to ask any of our listeners if they would, if they remember to, if they would keep in their prayers in September, Father Mark and all these priests getting together for this gathering so we could pray for them as they brainstorm with the Holy Spirit's guidance, you know, of how to extend God's divine mercy in an even more powerful way. You know, we'll be praying for you, Father, and all the priests, you know, that are gathered together. So I think it's so apropos that you were asked to be, you know, like a missionary of mercy since you love the sacrament of confession so much. It's so appropriate. It kind of just seems to all tie together there, you know.
Yes, I always smile when I think about that. But even just being assigned to this parish and knowing who our patron saint is, St. John Nepomucene, he was martyred because he didn't want to break the seal of confession.
Yeah, wow. And I love that, because when I got to see the statue at your parish, isn't he kind of lifting his finger to, like, his mouth, kind of to signify, like, what he stands for? Isn't that how the statue is, Father?
Correct. He's holding both of his index fingers on his lips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, showing everybody that he's not going to talk.
Yeah, yep. No, that's beautiful. He's not, at least in my life, he's not a saint I've heard of much. I have heard of him before. I think I read him in, like, a Lives of the Saints book, but he's such a powerful saint. He's one of those, like, prize jewels that's sort of, like, maybe a little hidden that, you know, it would be great to get the word out there more about him. And not just for, I think, not just for priests and their hearing confession, but for lay people, like, for those of us that, like, feel like we need courage, you know? I know after I left your parish, he's been coming to my mind to pray to for, like, to have the grace, the courage to profess my faith more, you know? So it was such a blessing for me to get to be there and get acquainted with him a little bit, because now he's kind of getting into my life a little bit, which I'm really thankful for, so.
Oh, it's always beneficial to pray to saints that maybe aren't that popular, you know, like St. Francis of Assisi or, you know, St. Anthony of Padua, you know, who helps us find things, you know. Mm-hmm. But when we pray to the saints that aren't that popular, they love it because they don't have a lot of business.
So maybe we can kind of get the corner on them a little bit and get some extra help because they're sitting there waiting to be asked.
Exactly.
I love that idea. That's so neat. Oh, yeah. Well, Father, actually, time kind of just flew by on us here, but if I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind giving us a final blessing here before the end of our program. And, you know, just to re-mention again, Father Mark Whelan was our guest today. He's stationed down in Robstown, right outside of Corpus Christi, Texas, St. John Nepomucene Parish. If you're ever down in that area, look up Mass times and, you know, you can attend Mass there. I know Father would love to have you. And if you could give us your final blessing, Father.
Sure. Thank you so much. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. May the Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. And I was just going to ask you real quick, maybe just in case of if people are traveling around, where are some countries where your society is? So people might, if they're traveling, they might look for them.
Philippines.
Okay.
Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Belize.
Okay.
Guatemala.
All right.
Europe.
Okay.
So England. Rome.
Wow. Okay.
And that's what I could think of at the moment.
Okay. And I know here in the United States, you know, your headquarters is in down in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Correct.
I've been involved in one of your missions at St. Anne's Indian Mission in Belcourt. I also know you're in Seattle and in Colorado. And anywhere else am I missing, Father, in the U.S. here?
New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. Okay. All right. So you know, thanks be to God, your community has been serving in all different places. And, you know, I encourage people, too, if they're ever interested in doing volunteering, the Society welcomes people on as volunteers. So you can go online. The Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity has a website, and you can, you know, maybe look into the Society, kind of what they do, maybe check out some possibilities of volunteering. I know that they have summer camps. You know, I serve in North Dakota. That's always an option for people. And just to check out the spirituality of the Society and obviously how important the Holy Trinity is and the Blessed Mother to the Society. And I can vouch for myself. I have had a wonderful experience and growing so much spiritually being associated with them. And I just wanted to thank you, too, Father, for all your service to the Church. You know, through the Society and through being a missionary of mercy. Thank you so much for that, Father.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that and mentioning that.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I hope to be with you all soon. Thank you so much, Father Mark, and God bless all of you. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with all of you again soon. God bless and take care.
Thank you. God bless you.